VOR is the primary navigation aid used by civil aviation in the National Airspace System. The VOR ground station is oriented to magnetic north and transmits azimuth information to aircraft providing 360 courses to or from the VOR station. When distance measuring equipment, or DME, is installed with the VOR, it is referred to as a VOR DME and provides both azimuth and distance information. When military tactical air navigation, or TACAN, equipment is installed with the VOR, it is known as a VORTAC and provides both azimuth and distance information. The courses oriented from the station are called radials. Radials extend outward from the station like spokes from the hub of a wheel. The VOR information received by an aircraft is not influenced by aircraft attitude or heading. For example, if you go to figure 7-10, you will see an illustration of a VOR transmitter and three aircraft. The aircraft are labeled A, A1, and B. Aircraft A is located on the 360 radial. It happens to be heading south. Once aircraft A crosses over the station and continues on a southerly heading, it is now on the 180-degree magnetic radial south of the station because radials extend outward from the center of the station. Aircraft B is heading in approximately 315 degrees, and it is crossing the 225-degree radial. At any point around the station, an aircraft can be located somewhere on a VOR radial. The VOR receiver measures and presents information to indicate bearing to or from the station. In addition to the navigation signals, a Morse code signal is transmitted concurrently to identify the facility, as well as voice transmissions for communication and relay of weather and other information. The VOR can also be used for air-ground communications without interference with the navigation signal. The airborne equipment which you need to receive a VOR station includes an antenna, a receiver, and an indicator instrument. The receiver has a frequency knob to select any of the frequencies between 108 and 117.95 MHz. Let's now take a look at figure 7-12. The omnibearing selector, or OBS, knob is the knob that you can rotate on the instrument. When you rotate this knob, the numbers around the dial, the course numbers, change. They rotate in a circle. By rotating the OBS knob, the course indicator marks display in the course window. You rotate the OBS knob until the desired course is selected and aligned with the course index mark. The CDI needle is the little white needle in the center of the instrument. This is a deviation needle that is hinged to move laterally across the face of the instrument. Some needles move to the left and right, and others swing left and right as though they are pivoting from the top. In either case, the needle is either centered, or it's to the left, or it's to the right. When the needle is in the center, the aircraft is on the selected radial, or on the reciprocal of the selected radial, depending on whether or not you have a to or from indication. Full-scale needle deflection from the center position to either side indicates the aircraft is 10 degrees or more off course. The outer edge of the little circle is 2 degrees off course, and each dot signifies another 2 degrees. The to-from indicator shows whether the selected course will take the aircraft to or from the station. It does not indicate whether the aircraft is heading to or from the station. When you rotate the OBS knob, the course value changes. While the number is changing and rotating, say, from north to west to south, the to-from indicator flips around. So, in a 360-degree circle, the needle will center on two different indications. One, it'll center with a to indication, and the second time it'll center is with a from indication. When it centers with the to or the from indication, each of the selected courses are the reciprocal of each other. In this indication, the needle is centered with a to indication, and the course of north, or 360 degrees, is lined up with the course index. This tells me that the aircraft, when flying a magnetic heading of north, will go to the station. This also tells me that the aircraft is located on the 180-degree radial. The reason I know that is because radials extend outward from the station. The station is ahead of me. I'm heading toward the station. I'm heading north toward the station. And I haven't crossed the station yet. Therefore, I am on the radial that extends from the center of the station south along a magnetic course of 180 degrees. I am on the 180-degree radial. The to-from indicator shows whether the selected course will take the aircraft to or from the station. Flags or other signal strength indicators indicate whether the signal is reliable or not. The device that indicates a usable or reliable signal may be a little red flag that says nav, or it may say off, and the flag will retract from view when signal strength is sufficient for reliable indications. Alternately, insufficient signal may be indicated by a blank to or from indicator. In all cases, the Morse code identifier should be listened to determine that the correct station has been selected and that the signal is reliable. Tune the VOR receiver to the appropriate frequency, turn up the audio volume, identify the signal's identifier, and then rotate the OBS to center the CDI needle and read the course under or over the course index. Let's take a look at Figure 7-14. Figure 7-14 is an excellent diagram. It explains how the VOR indications change as the position of the aircraft changes in relation to the VOR. On both these indications, the one at the top and the one at the bottom, the CDI is indicating 180 degrees. The upper indication tells me that the aircraft is located on the 360-degree radial. Why? Because radials extend outward from the station. It's telling me that in order to get to the station, I have to fly a heading of 180 degrees. That'll put me on a radial to the station, which is the 360-degree radial. As the aircraft passes over the station, the to-from indicator reverses. During the time that it reverses, it is not giving you any indication of to or from. It takes a moment to flip around. During that time, the aircraft is in a position called the zone of ambiguity, where there is no clear to or from indication, and the needle may not be centered. It'll probably be full-scale deflection to one or the other side. Once the aircraft crosses the station, the needle will regain its center position, and a to-from indicator will now flip around and read from. That tells me that the aircraft is now flying away from the station on a magnetic course of 180 degrees. This is telling me that I'm on the 180-degree radial. A rule of thumb that you can use when interpreting VORs is this. Every time the needle is centered with a from indication, the radial you are on is indicated at the course index. Every time the needle is centered with a to indication, the radial you are on is the reciprocal that is selected at the course index. So you're probably asking yourself, what do I need to know on the written test regarding VORs? On sectional charts, VOR locations are shown by blue symbols centered in a blue compass rose, which is oriented to magnetic north. A blue identification box adjacent to the VOR symbol lists the name and the frequency of the facility. Some VORs have a voice identification alternating with the Morse code identifier. Absence of the Morse code identifier indicates the facility is unreliable and undergoing routine maintenance. Some VORs also transmit the Morse code Tango Echo Sierra Tango during maintenance. That's T-E-S-T. The VOR station continuously transmits navigation signals providing 360 degrees magnetic courses to or radials from the station. Courses are to the station and radials are from the station. TACAN, a military system which provides directional guidance, also informs the pilot of the aircraft's distance from the TACAN station. When VOR and TACAN are co-located, the facility is called a VORTAC. Civil pilots may receive both azimuth and distance information from a VORTAC. A VORTAC is operationally equivalent to a VOR DME. The course deviation indicator, when it is centered, indicates the aircraft is on the selected course. When the CDI needle is not centered, when it's deflected to the left or to the right, it indicates the direction you have to fly in order to reestablish yourself on that course. To determine your position with relation to one or more VOR stations, first tune and identify the selected station. Next, rotate the OBS until the CDI needle centers with a from indication. The OBS reading is the magnetic course from the VOR station to the aircraft. So, let's say you're flying along and you tune the XYZ VOR. You rotate the OBS needle until the course needle centers with a from indication and you read 135 degrees, 135 degrees. You are on the 135 degree radial from that station. So if you go to the sectional chart and you draw a straight line from the center of that VOR station in the magnetic direction of 135 degrees, you are located somewhere along that line. If you do that same drill with a second VOR, you can get your exact position along that line by referencing a second VOR station. The final area I'm going to talk about here is course determination. To determine the course to be flown to a VOR station on the sectional chart, first draw a line from the starting point to the VOR symbol. At the point where the course line crosses the compass rose on the VOR symbol on the chart, read the number. That is the radial that you need to go on to get to that station. The course to the station is the reciprocal of that radial. VOR receiver accuracy may be checked by a means of a VOR test facility, also known as VOT. You could also use ground checkpoints or airborne checkpoints. VOTs transmit only the 360 degree radial. Thus, when the OBS is set to 360 degrees, the CDI will center with a from indication. If you rotate the OBS knob and put the reciprocal 180 degrees opposite the course arrow, this will cause the CDI to center again with a to indication. The accuracy of the VOR using a VOT must be plus or minus 4 degrees. The way I've remembered this is I think of the Cessna 182. 180 degrees is the course, 2 is the indication. A list of VOT facilities, as well as where the VOR checkpoints are located on the airport, can be found in the airport facilities directory. The routes that are established between VOR facilities are called VOR Airways or Victor Airways. They are depicted by blue-tinted bands which extend outward from the center of the VOR symbol, and they're indicated by the magnetic course that's depicted on them, as well as an airway number followed by the letter V. What you've got to know about climbing and descending on Victor Airways is that you must exercise extreme vigilance for other aircraft when climbing or descending on a Victor Airway. It is considered good operating practice to execute gentle banks left and right for continuous visual scanning of the airspace. The ADF receiver is an indicator in the aircraft. It receives signals from a non-directional beacon. The non-directional beacon, or NDB, refers to the ground transmitting station, and ADF, or automatic direction finder, refers to the receiving equipment in the aircraft. What you need to know about an ADF receiver, there's two kinds of ADF indicators. Actually, there's three kinds of ADF indicators. The private pilot written test only refers to two different types, the ADF fixed card and the ADF movable card. The third type is an ADF receiver with an RMI, or radio magnetic indicator. There are no questions about that. You do need to know how an ADF receiver works and what its indications mean. So we're going to talk about it. The ADF receiver receives signals from a transmitter, and they display an indication in the cockpit on the form of an instrument. we need to look at Figure 30 and Figure 31 in order to continue this discussion. Figure 30 shows four ADF receiver indications, and Figure 31 shows eight ADF receiver indications. If you don't have a figure in front of you, not a big deal. I'll explain these to you. Figure 30 has an ADF with a movable card, and so you have a compass rose scale, and there's a needle, and the needle is pointing to a number in the compass scale. On the movable card ADF indicator, that number changes by rotating a knob. The fixed card indicator is much more simple. It has a compass rose with a needle, but the compass rose always has zero at the top. Always. Just like a compass rose. Zero is at the top, 180 is at the bottom, 270 is over to the left, and 90 is to the right. The needle points to the NDB station. So wherever the station is, that's where the needle is pointing to. Pretty straightforward. Since the order of these figures are movable card is number 30 and fixed card is number 31, in order to make this clear and easy to understand, let me talk about the fixed card ADF indicators first. The ADF indicator needle points to the station. On a fixed card ADF indication, the ADF needle only indicates relative bearing, which means the bearing to the station that's relative to the nose of the aircraft. An ADF receiver is a pretty useful thing. It can be used to plot your position, to track inbound or outbound to a station, or to intercept a bearing to or from a station. The ADF needle points to the station regardless of where the airplane is pointing. That's all it does. It points to the station. When you cross over the station, the needle swings around from the nose to the tail, indicating you've passed over the station. The term relative bearing is used when discussing ADF receivers. Relative bearing is the angular difference between the nose of the airplane and the direction to the station. Aircraft heading is not taken into account. Magnetic bearing is a magnetic line from the aircraft to the station in relation to magnetic north. Bearing is the horizontal direction to one object from another. Bearings come in different flavors. There's true bearing, there's magnetic bearing, and there's relative bearing. True bearing is the direction measured in degrees from true north. Relative bearing is the direction to a station measured in degrees clockwise from the nose of the airplane. Magnetic bearing is the direction to or from a radio transmitting station measured relative to magnetic north. Magnetic heading is the direction the aircraft is pointed with respect to magnetic north. Magnetic north is the direction of the magnetic north pole as opposed to the direction of the geographic north pole. The geographic north pole is at a place where all the lines of longitude converge. That's called true north. And magnetic north is a place where all the lines of magnetic flux converge. That's magnetic north. If you look at a fixed card ADF, all it's telling you is relative bearing. You look at the needle, you read the azimuth on the compass pointer, so needle number one is pointing to 315 degrees. Needle number two is pointing to 09 or 0 degrees. Number three is pointing to 180 degrees. Four is pointing to 225 degrees. Five is pointing to 360 degrees or 0 degrees. 6 is pointing to 045, 7 is pointing to 270, and 8 is pointing to 125 degrees. The relative bearing for each of those indications is what I just told you. I just read them off to you. That's the relative bearing. With a movable card ADF, if the card is rotated so that your magnetic heading aligns with the index at the top of the card, the needle is giving you magnetic bearing to the station by looking at the head of the needle, and the tail of the needle is giving you magnetic bearing from the station. If you don't have a movable card ADF indicator, observe where the needle is pointing and then superimpose that needle on your heading indicator, and you've got a virtual movable card ADF. Actually, it's a virtual RMI. You can use an ADF receiver either to home to a station or track to a station. Homing to a station means you're flying the aircraft on any heading required to keep the azimuth needle pointed toward the nose of the aircraft until the station is reached. Tracking to the station means following a straight geographic track over the ground, and you do that by changing the aircraft heading to establish a wind correction angle. The wind correction angle cancels out the effect of the wind, and the aircraft goes directly over a straight line on the ground to the station. The one formula you need to memorize in order to understand ADF and solve the ADF problems is you have to understand elements that constitute magnetic bearing. Magnetic bearing to the station is composed of two components added together. Those components are magnetic heading plus relative bearing. Memorize this. Magnetic bearing to the station equals magnetic heading plus relative bearing. The fact of the matter is, you need to know how to arrive at a magnetic bearing to the station because there are test questions that ask you that. For example, let's look at figure 30, illustration number 3. One of the test questions asks, what is the magnetic bearing from the station? And the three answer choices are 25 degrees, 115 degrees, or 295 degrees. Well, let's look at figure 30, illustration 3. The needle is pointing to the right side of the index mark, just shy of 300 degrees, maybe 295 degrees, somewhere in there. Well, that's the magnetic bearing to the station. It's 295 degrees. What is the magnetic bearing from the station? It's the reciprocal of 295 degrees. It's where the tail of the needle is pointing to, which is 115 degrees. A quick way of figuring a reciprocal is by asking yourself the question, for example, what's the reciprocal of 270 degrees? Well, it's a cardinal point on the compass. You probably know that that's west and the reciprocal is east. The way to figure it mathematically, ask yourself the question, what is the reciprocal of x? Say x is 270 degrees. The question you ask yourself is it more than 180 degrees? If it's more than 180 degrees, I'll add 20 and then I'll subtract 200. It's easy to add 20 to any number. 270 plus 20 is 290 degrees. 290 minus 200, it's easy to subtract 200 from any number. The other thing you ask yourself, is it less than 180 degrees? For example, what is the reciprocal of 0.35 degrees? Well, 0.35 degrees is less than 180, so I'm going to subtract 20 from 0.35 degrees, which is 35 degrees. 35 minus 20 is 15. 15 plus 200 is 215 degrees. The reciprocal of 0.35 is 2.15. The rule of thumb is if it's greater than 180 degrees, you add 20 and then subtract 200. If it's less than 180 degrees, you subtract 20 and then add 200. Let's look at figure 31. There's one other question type that requires you understand this. And the way they phrase the question is, look at figure 31, illustration 8. Looking at this illustration, it looks like the relative bearing is 135 degrees. So the station is to the right and behind us. The question asks, if the magnetic bearing to the station is 135 degrees, the magnetic heading is, well, if the magnetic bearing to the station is 135, magnetic bearing is relative bearing plus magnetic heading. Well, the relative bearing is 135. If the magnetic heading is 135, that's 135 plus 0, which means the magnetic heading is 360 degrees or it's 0. Well, you're probably asking yourself, all right, that's pretty straightforward. I can figure out what my relative bearing is by reading the needle. I can figure out what my magnetic bearing to a station or from a station is by reading the needle and adding my magnetic heading. But how do I intercept a magnetic bearing and track that bearing to the station? I knew you were asking yourself that because I told you how to home to a station, which is really easy. You turn the aircraft so that the ADF needle points and remains pointed to the nose of the airplane. But how do you track to a station? Well, that's easy also. Here's how you do it. You begin by homing. You point the airplane to the station and you fly a heading to that station. Keep your wings level, maintain a desired heading, and watch what happens to the needle. Note whether the needle starts moving to the left or to the right of the nose of the airplane, and figure out how many degrees deflection that is. For example, if the ADF needle is pointing 20 degrees to the right of the nose of the airplane, that's telling you that you have a wind from the right that's causing you to drift to the left of your desired course. 20 degrees to the right, huh? Okay, double that. Turn the aircraft toward the desired magnetic bearing 40 degrees. When you do that, the needle is going to move. It's going to turn to the left. Hold that heading until the needle is the same number of degrees off to the left as the intercept angle that you took. So you took a 40 degree cut to the right. Wait till the needle is 40 degrees off to the left. When the needle is 40 degrees off to the left, you are now reestablished on the original track prior to the aircraft drifting. You know that if you return 40 degrees off to the left of where you are just heading, you'll probably drift off again. You'll be on course for a while, but you'll drift off. So why don't you take out half that correction? Try turning 20 degrees to the left. If you're holding a heading that's 20 degrees to the left and the needle is 20 degrees to the right, you are tracking the desired course to the station. GPS is a satellite-based radio navigation system operated by the Department of Defense. The system provides highly reliable and accurate position and velocity information and precise time on a global basis to an unlimited number of properly equipped users. The GPS constellation consists of 24 satellites. They are designed so that a minimum of 5 satellites are always observable anywhere on Earth. GPS receiver data uses a minimum of 4 satellites to yield a 3-dimensional position, latitude, longitude, and altitude, and a time solution, which means with a GPS you can actually figure out how long it's going to take you to get from point A to point B. There are 3 questions on the written test regarding GPS. How many satellites make up the GPS constellation? What's the minimum number of satellites that are observable by a user anywhere on Earth? And how many satellites are required to yield a 3-dimensional picture, latitude, longitude, and altitude, and a time solution?